This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. And as always, I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs, where it's kind of overcast, a regular, well, irregular October day. It seems like summer just left really rapidly. And anyway, here we are. I'm really glad that you joined me today. I know that we're going to have a tremendous program here at republicbroadcasting.org as we have a wonderful guest, as always, but some guests are just more wonderful than others. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net, where you'll find a lot of very interesting information. And if you wish to ask questions or make comments during the program, just email comment at spingola.email. Or you can visit the chat room, which is at spingola.chatango.com. And you know where the archives are for the program. And I mention this frequently, and yet somehow I don't mention it as frequently as I should, because people ask me, where can I find a your schedule? And it is at spingola.com. You just look at the website, click on the button that says radio schedule, and there you'll see everyone I've had on the program since October 23rd, 2010. And you just click on the links, and you'll get relevant links for the subject matter as well as for the guests that I've had on the program. And I have interviewed some of those most interesting people, just incredible people, Helen Thomas, George Papadopoulos, just a lot of people, very interesting people. And it has been an honor to do that for as long as I've done it. I began broadcasting on RBN on October 23rd, 2010, and shortly thereafter, on December 15th of 2010, I interviewed Clint Richardson after watching his extraordinary video, The Corporation Nation, and I was just stunned by the details and all the information that he brought out in this video. It made sense to me. He documents everything. He doesn't just make a lot of claims that go nowhere. He documents things, which I love. I love people who cite their sources and document what they are claiming. Anyway, I interviewed him again on January 31st, 2011. And since then, we've had a lot of great conversations, both on the air, off the air. He's visited my home. I made pasta for him when he came to visit. I believe that was in, I think it was November of 2017. Anyway, we had a really great time, and I consider him one of my dear friends. He's had an extraordinary impact on my life, in the things that he has done for me, and anyway, Clint, welcome to the program. I'm getting all emotional.
You do that every time.
I know.
You do that every time.
You know how I am.
Can't
I'm an emotional
joke
person.
Crying. Well, ditto to you. I could say a lot of the same things about you. So.
And you won't cry, though.
You know, I've had to toughen myself up over the years facing all these these topics, so, and all these trolls and all these agitators and all these people who attack my sites. It's, you know, you have to get a thick skin after a while.
Exactly. I did watch your movie again just recently in the last month, and I tried to find it at thecorporationnation.com. And I got an error message, so I did find it elsewhere and watched the entire thing. It's extraordinary. It's wonderful. But what happened to your website? You got somebody did some terrible things to it.
Yeah, you know, Unfortunately, my blog is on a site, a WordPress site, and it so it goes through WordPress, so it's a lot harder to hack into a big site like that. They have all the protections up, but this one, the Corporation Nation site, was sort of an offshoot that I just created, and it had no such protections, and really easy to hack, I assume, and so basically someone went in there, rearranged all the code, and instead of, you know, if you were to click on one of the movies that was up there, one of my documentaries, you'd be taken to either some kind of porn site or some link that would take you to somewhere that would download a virus or try to do something. And I'll tell you, I couldn't for the life of me. I looked at the code, and I was just amazed at how intricate it was. And I just, you know, eventually I just said, okay, I'm just going to get rid of this because, you know, the company that hosts it certainly can't help and or won't help unless you pay them, which I find amazing. And, yeah, it's just the kind of it's the kind of environment it is for anyone who, you know, says it like it is, I guess. So I accepted it. I certainly couldn't afford to pay somebody or, you know, fix it myself. So I just had to let it go.
Sure.
And you know, all those movies, they're up on YouTube as long as they will be there.
Sure.
Surprisingly, they have, I can't figure out why. I really can't, but, my Lethal Injection movie, the first documentary I made on vaccines, you know, 2011, which has gotten hundreds of thousands of views and it's been shared and everything, that is still up. And I'm really surprised about that because they've been just really cracking down on anything that's, you know, vaccine oriented that gives you any inkling that vaccines are bad for you.
Right.
So, I mean, there's good news too.
Right. Well, that's good. Hopefully after today, somebody's not going to think, oh, I think I'll go and hack that.
Well, I'm afraid that when I put up this series of documentaries that I've been working on for a couple of years now, that really is, if my documentary, you know, people said it was good, this is more like a master class. Like going to college, it's like a 60-hour course on the whole thing, all the studies, all the reports, all the doctors and all the people who are in the so-called movement, you know, that are trying to tell people what vaccines actually do. I really did a deep dive and decided that, you know, this whole Hollywood model that we're all brainwashed into, that I, you know, my YouTube videos have to be 10 minutes long because I don't have the attention span, and oh, a documentary can't be more than 2 hours long. I decided to abandon that. And my reasoning is there's no way I can possibly, you know, include every subject that goes along with this because it goes through all the industries and all the, you know, from the university system and how corrupt it is. You know, education is like one of its lowest priorities and patents are its highest priorities. And there's these underground sort of behind the scenes patent wars between universities, and they own all the patents because they're, of course, doing all the research funded by governments. Governments then have the patents. I mean, the whole thing is just it's gotten so ridiculous that there is no science anymore happening. There's only invention, and that's really the key to the whole problem that we're having, because, you know, they don't do medicine, they do patents, they do inventions. If, you know, the reason we don't have new antibiotics, for instance, is because there's no money in it. It's a generic, you know, real, the money for antibiotics is so low that these companies don't have any incentive, because their main job is to make their shareholders rich. There's no incentive to do the research and development in something like antibiotics, even though we need them, because they're creating all these viruses and pathogens that are drug resistant, and then releasing them into the population. So the whole thing is just so messed up and so crazy that to put all that into, you know, to put the grand conspiracy that it is, take away the theory and actually show you the evidence, evidentiary, you know, truth, fact-based stuff, you know, it's kind of like this, Deanna. This is how I see it. Because like I said, this is going to be probably a 60-hour course that I'm going to do on the whole medical, pharmaceutical, vaccines, you know, you name it, COVID, everything else. The way I look at it.
How far into it are you?
Quite a bit, and to the point where I meant to get the first one done, which is called, it's actually on COVID, and the story behind how we got this biological weapon released into the public, okay, and I don't say that because it's my theory, it's because I actually found where these people who the scientists themselves, plus the government agents who created all these viruses, and trust me when I say, they have taken every virus known to man, every bug known to man, basically, but specifically viruses, because of, you know, viral implies something, an infectious matter, essentially. And they've copied them, they've digitally outlined them, genetically recreated them so that they could patent them, because you can't patent anything in nature. Anything true cannot be patented, so you have to recreate these things. And as a reward, you get patent rights. And then, of course, when it's released into the public, they have to create a new vaccine because, gosh, it's a mutated virus, right? And the whole thing, just it's just rinse, wash, and repeat. And so I have all these scientists together in a forum, all talking about how they do it, and the dangers and the risk versus the benefit and all that stuff. It's really amazing to hear it, because, you know, everybody talks about, oh, I think it's a bio, I think it's this. Now you will know, because these are the people that did it. These are the people that tell you, yeah, SARS was a biological weapon. Yeah, MERS. Yeah, all the, oh yeah, we're working on H1, highly pathogenic H5N1. And when we're making it more virulent, more deadly, it'll already kill 60% of the people, right? It infects. But the problem is we can't really study it from human to human, because bird flu only is contracted from birds. So you can get it from a bird, in other words. It'll generally go through another animal closer to the human genome, and then bam, you have it. But you can't spread it from human to human. That's what's so interesting. So what do? They put it in a lab. And the NIH is funding all these studies, which is, of course, headed by the Institutes of Infectious Diseases, is headed by none other than Anthony Fauci, right? Anthony Fauci is like this master criminal that's up there giving us a bunch of BS every time he talks about COVID, not telling us that he's in charge of funding literally all of these experiments that they're doing. And I won't say they admit it, because they're in a forum where they're just talking amongst themselves, right? Their so-called scientific community. And while it is a public forum, no one has ever watched it. Like, it has 600 views, and those are probably from insider people, right? So this debate they had in 2012 explains the whole thing. They tell you how they're weaponizing all these viruses. Anyway, this is my documentary. It's about 98% done. And I was trying to use your show as a kickoff, and I was going to post it today, but I got to add a couple more things because it's so important, you know. And then from there, I'm going to go into part one of the lethal injection 2, which is called A Corruption of Blood. But this current one I'm doing is called Wagging the Dog, the story behind the story of COVID-19 and how it happened. And then that'll segue into this, because their main argument for doing all of this stuff really boils down to one and only one thing, and that is vaccine research. So the one thing that has to be done is to take away their excuse, their logical fallacy that lets them do the most horrible, horrible things. And when I say that, I mean, again, they made H5N1 transmissible from human to human. They made it airborne in a lab. Right? If it ever escaped, then it would probably kill 80 or 90% of the population, because they also made it more virulent, more contagious, more this, more that, human-human transmissible. Keep in mind, all of these traits have never happened in nature, and nature is designed so that, in for the most part, these types of viral materials do not cross species. Just like a horse and a sheep are, you know, if a poor sheep, but, you know, if the horse and the sheep mated, then there's not going to be an offspring, because that's not how nature works. Same with the virome and the, you know, the rest of nature. They're not designed. We're not designed to mix. Even humans with different blood types are not designed to mix. We're not, you know, we have to kill the immune system in order for a negative blooded person, Rh person, to have a positive person's a baby. I don't like the word person, sorry, but you get the idea. So there's all these beautiful, beautiful things in nature that stop the things that they're doing in the lab. And that is what we're dealing with COVID-19, as they call it, which is just SARS-2. Now, if I say SARS-1, obviously SARS-2 is SARS-1 with what is called, and they talk about this, gain of function or dual use research. Now, when I say gain or loss of function, that's the official term for taking a virus and adding, say, a receptor. For instance, on we talked about this last time, I think, that they took the SARS-1, mixed it with MERS, and then added orthologs, meaning, you know, like spikes or receptors and that kind of thing. And they put HIV, the specific virus, HIV, they took those spikes, those communication devices that would then enter into the receptors in the human body. So in the lab, in order to study SARS-1 and try to, you know, create vaccines and all the things they say they're doing and that justify this, they're basically creating bioweapons. And then saying, well, it's for research purposes, legitimate and peaceful, which makes it legal. Now, the interesting thing about that is that what they call basic research, in other words, what all these guys, Ron Fauci and the Institutes of Health and what's his name, Fauci, Anthony Fauci, who's in charge of a lot of these things, H1N1, right? He's the guy that's doing this. He's the guy listed on all the research papers. These are the guys that are doing this so-called basic or legitimate research. And yet, if it weren't for that one little U.S. code that made the exception on the Biological Weapons Act that says, well, okay, yeah, you can't make biological weapons, but if you're doing it legitimately, you can do basic research. There is absolutely no difference between basic research, which means taking H5N1, for instance, or SARS, and making it more virulent, adding things to it to make it human-to-human transmissible or airborne transmissible, okay? All these things that they're doing in the lab that they call legitimate or peaceful, which are the words that are in the Biological Weapons Terrorism Act, and that's in the first documentary I made, actually. That is actually the same exact thing as biological weapons research. There is no difference between the two.
Yikes. All righty, we will be right back after a 3-minute break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the battle.
All right, welcome back. To live in- Our guest today is Clint Richardson, and his website is Reality Blogger with 1G, Reality Blogger. .wordpress.com. And you also have a book, Straw Man Story, which people can download, and that is at strawmanstory.info. Anyway, you were talking about Fauci and about what he is subsidizing with actually taxpayer money too, because some of those tests and some of those in the universities are actually paid for by the taxpayer, and mm-hmm. then they are privatized and turned over to corporations, and here the taxpayers paid for them, but it's the corporations that are going to make profits off of what the taxpayers have paid for.
Yeah, I mean, behind the scenes, even this new vaccine that they're coming out with, which, you know, people better be aware of this, it's an RNA vaccine that will reprogram your DNA. It does have aborted fetal tissue in it, just like the old ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, in other words, that's what it's grown on. And in this case, there's not even any virus. It's just this newfangled recombinant sort of reprogramming of your DNA. You want to stay as far away from that as you possibly can. But even in the background, Moderna, which is the company that Fauci and all those guys are involved. I mean, it's just this big conspiratorial thing. Well, they just lost a lawsuit, a patent battle over the COVID vaccine to another company who sued them already before the thing's even out. So before Moderna could even release this so-called vaccine, they already lost a patent battle on it. That's how incredibly corrupt this whole thing is, right? And like I said, it's all done through universities, and you know, it's just incredible. You find the United States government and Anthony Fauci's name on several patents, right? But especially the U.S. government, just depending on which department.
Right. So now there's a question from the chat room. Why does this virus seem to kill only people of a certain age, of terminally ill or just older people? Or is that just because they're putting
I'll
these?
Tell you,
okay, go ahead.
There's the testing. The testing is problematic. Testing is said in Time magazine. There was an article that said the PCR test is at least 30% inaccurate, meaning it'll give you a false negative quite often, and also a false positive. I would say it's way more than that. What the problem with the testing is that people that are getting tested with the PCR, which the author or the creator of the PCR test, polymerase, it's the same thing they do with the prion test, where they bombard it with radiation and make the prions grow and eat the brain tissue, et cetera, to test the genetic material. So the test, which they call the gold standard in the CDC, that test is only designed to detect the genetic material of what is called a coronavirus. Now, corona is the shape of the virus. In other words, the shape of the spikes that stick out of it that connect to your receptors in your body, right? So when you're getting, an Ebola virus is also a coronavirus. The common cold is actually the most common coronavirus. So when you get a test, and you've had any coronavirus, and there's quite a few different brands of coronavirus out there, you know, you're going to test positive for coronavirus, not for COVID-19 or in other words, SARS-2 COVID-19. No, you're showing a positive for the corona structure, genetic material of that virus. So the testing system itself is completely flawed. They know this. And then you have all these hospitals that are saying, oh, yeah, even though he died of a heart attack or a stroke or respiratory issues, you know, you're dying of COVID, because then they get funding. That's basically what it boils down to. Now, if you go back to the 1980s, where guess who was in charge? Anthony Fauci. You had the same exact thing, all right? You had Anthony Fauci and others, you know, the same people that are there today, really, that said, okay, HIV is causing all these deaths. And so all these hospitals started listing HIV. All these old people, what are they actually dying from? They're dying from diseases like pneumonia, etc. They're dying because they have what are called comorbidities. Right. Things, they're old. I mean, you're old. You're dying because of old age and diseases associated with those. Guess what? There's no such thing as age. Not a of all those.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Clint Richardson. His website is realityblogger.wordpress.com. There's just one G in blogger, that is realityblogger.wordpress.com. And okay, let's continue with what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, so you know, AIDS is acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Right.
When you say syndrome, you're talking about a bunch of diseases that are individually, you know, pretty much standalone diseases. You have your sarcoma, your Kaposi's, you know, sarcoma. You have pneumonia, tuberculosis, all these fairly new diseases that revolved around having this acquired immunity deficient syndrome. So in itself, it's not a disease. It's a description of diseases. Just the same thing can be said about COVID. Okay, COVID-19 is a description of several different respiratory and other types of diseases. COVID-19 is not a specific disease. It describes other diseases, and we have to understand that, and that's what's happening. The same thing that happened with AIDS is happening with people today, because and more so because they genetically engineered the HIV virus into the SARS-1, MERS, etc., right? And that was to make it more contagious. In other words, now it can enter into what's called the ACE1 or 2. I think it's ACE1, receptor, and that receptor is in the lungs, it's in the heart, it's in all the places where we're having problems with coronavirus. Now, that said, all these people, these young people and most people that are getting tested for coronavirus, they're showing positive because they've had the common cold, because they've had some other virus that is similar to but not the same as coronavirus, because a PCR test is not a diagnostic test. It tests for the genetic material associated with certain viruses. Okay, so we have this horrible, horrible system. And like I said, it's a well-known fact. All kinds of doctors have come out and talked about it. It's not as if this is unknown. Like I said, even that article in Time magazine said it's got a 30% at least inaccuracy rate. No one in their right mind would give you a test with a 30% inaccuracy rate. And even the test, right. Even the test for HIV, I believe it was, or AIDS, the test for HIV was something like 99% inaccurate. It was so bad that it was almost too bad to even, you know, comprehend. But so the same tricks that were being played with Fauci back then as head of National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, in other words, under the NIH, right? He was the one that introduced AZT. Now, AZT was previously, before that, it was a failed chemotherapy drug. And they put all these people on AZT completely experimentally, and it turns out AZT is what is called a DNA disruptor or terminator, excuse me. So it has a termination quality to your DNA. You have, you know, your cells have telomeres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're like little tails, and they once the tail's gone, then your cells die, and that represents sort of your lifespan or your death of your cells, etc. The only people that I know of that are still alive today, and there's two of them that I know. One is my cousin, so I actually understand. The only people that I know of that have survived that, because the actual official statistics for so-called AIDS is about 98% death rate for anyone that has had AZT. It's about 100. It's almost 100%. The only people I know that have actually avoided death from that are people who took human growth hormone, because human growth hormone does the exact opposite. It starts making you younger. So you've got these two. Sort of, you know, you have a DNA terminator and then something that, you know, is more of an anti-aging type of drug. It actually makes you younger, if you will. And those are the only people that I know that have actually, and they had, you know, human growth hormone is about $200,000 a year.
Wow. Oh, so that's a lot of money. Yeah.
That's why nobody can get it. And right. they absolutely know that it would, you know, it'll take away just about anything. It reverses your aging, takes away spots on your skin. It repairs things. You know, I mean, it's really growth hormone. It really, if you have a hole in your heart, it'll repair it. So those are the only people that I know of that have actually survived. And like I said, Fauci has been there this whole time, researching anti-aging and anti-this and anti-that. And really, that's what this boils down to, because I started looking at all the research papers, and all these research papers, and I've read hundreds and hundreds of research papers, all right? So I've been doing, and I'm taking pictures of them, I'm highlighting certain things, and I'm putting them, you know, away for future, and then I'll read them to you, so you don't even have to read them in my documentary series, right? But I'm looking, I'm going, why is the conclusion of the study... And the introduction, right? The introduction or the abstract, it says this, this, and this. Then you go through this study, and there's all these testing things that are happening. And a lot of it has to do with synthetic biology, synthetic environments, all these weird, weird things that have nothing to do with the actual experiment. So essentially, like you said, the public is funding all these studies that behind the scenes, while they're doing the actual study that they put the request in for the funding, they're also doing all this other stuff, which is called dual use. So in other words, they might be doing something clandestinely for the government, for DARPA, for this, for that, that has to do with bioterrorism or transhumanism or whatever. So they're almost all of these tests have this strange research going on that has nothing to do with the actual, you know, subject matter of the study. And it never makes it into the final conclusion. In other words, it's not part of the study. It's just done with the extra funding. And then they're taking all of that information and using it for what's called dual-use purpose. Now, a dual-use purpose, the best example of a dual-use is this, biological weapons. But another example would be the nuclear physics, right? They discovered nuclear fission. They figured out how that it would power a whole city and at the same time destroy a whole state.
Right.
Right? So you have a dual use. Yes, I'm crazy. It's what they accuse Iran of, for instance. Yeah,
right.
Sure. You're just building a bomb. You're not actually trying to power your cities, right? So if Iran says, oh, yeah, we're just using this for power, and then at the same time they have a secret weapons program, that's dual use. The funding is going for the beneficial use, but the information garnered from the study is going towards the nefarious use, which would be dual use, right? So same with biological weapons. As I said before, there's absolutely no difference whatsoever. If I was a biological weapons specialist, a scientist, and I was to go and create a biological weapon from, let's say, the highly pathogenic H5N1 or SARS or anything else, which they've done them all. You got to understand, they've done them all. I would do exactly what they do in the labs today all across the world to study the traits of viruses or whatever you're studying, right? I would add functions, gain of functions or loss of function. Sometimes if you lose a function, if you make it less contagious, it might become more virulent or harmful, right? So depending on what you do to these things, well, what they're doing is they're adding all of these functions to make it. There's seven concerning things that you can do, right? And they're adding them all. So they're creating like these super viruses, these super bugs that would kill. I mean, it literally. I mean, and this isn't just for humans. This isn't just for animals. It's not just for insects. It's also for plants and for all, you know, they're doing it to everything. And all it's going to take, and see, this is why I got so concerned when I started looking into this back in January, and why I switched to doing this movie instead of the vaccine movie, is because I figured out real quick that we are one accident away from being dead. And I mean the species or the eugenic group that the bug is targeted, the age group the bug is targeted, whatever it is, if one of these escapes, if this highly contagious H5N1 that's in 200 different labs across the world,
ugh,
you know, if that escapes or is released purposefully, then you're seriously going to have major, major population reduction, which a lot of people say is...
That would make Bill Gates really happy.
Exactly. And so I saw... It's funny what doing a documentary on something will do to you. It's kind of like I used to do movies or video games, and I'd have to watch the movie or the game hundreds of times in order to put the sound in, right? So by the time I'm done with the movie, I don't even want to see the movie because I'm bored with it, right? It's
sure.
No surprise. There's no same thing with this. You know, I'm doing this research and I'm discovering all this stuff. When I first understood the direness of this, nothing else in life mattered. This was suddenly like, oh my God, we're all gonna die. And I still have that understanding. I just don't have the the underpinning, you know, emotional response that I had before. But at this point now I can talk about it rationally as opposed to, you know, just being scared crapless as I was before. And what I'm trying to tell you and your listeners is this is the turning point in history, in technology, in bioweapons and biotechnology. We are at the point where it's gotten so out of control and it's growing so quickly as far as technology that they don't, you know, they say in this forum, we don't even have the laws set up to prosecute. Like, it's so fast, the improvement, that government is pointless because the bureaucracy won't allow things like the Biological Terrorism Act to go through years, you know, until everything's already way past that point. And that's where we are now, to the point where you got to ask. I mean, I'll just put it to you this way. Government, through the NIH, Anthony Fauci, Ron Fauci, Yoshi, whatever his name is, these guys, they are responsible for creating these bugs, these viruses that have highly pathogenic, and it escaped from a lab. Now, the U.S. government wants you to think it's China. China wants to think you to think it's U.S. It's actually a combination of both. The virus was actually given to China by Anthony Fauci, even though there was a moratorium on this research. The SARS, what we're dealing with now, was given to China to continue the research because there was a moratorium here. Anthony Fauci was responsible for that. Okay, so that was back, I think, in 2014. So this is not there. Who do you blame is the question. And the answer is Anthony Fauci and that which he represents, which is the entire government, right?
Right, right.
So the NIH.
My question is, all of these, these viruses, aren't they afraid that they might become afflicted with the very poisons that they're trying to inflict on the rest of the world?
I tell you the same thing that I heard a doctor say about most oncologists, and that is that they are sociopathic. They will, an oncologist will gladly treat you with radiation, with chemotherapy, bringing you to the point of death and destroying your immune system. But for his children, or for his wife, or himself, he would never, ever do that. Well, these guys, they're either psychopathic or sociopathic. They do not give a crap about the consequences. They don't feel like they're responsible for anything they do. And this is because of one very important element that we've all been missing this whole time, right? And that is this thing called, this religion, this dogma that is called scientism. And scientism is pretty much the anti-science, okay? It is a bunch of people who call themselves scientists, who have a dogmatic belief, or let's just say they look through the world, they look at the world and the universe through the lens of what's called scientism or scientistic thought, okay? In other words, they're not using the scientific method. They're not limiting themselves to actual scientific research, okay? And to give you an understanding of how that has affected the scientific community and the research that is coming out, there's about, depending on which report you look at, between 75% and 85% of all research, whether it's psychology, whether it's medical, whether it's pharmaceutical, you know, whichever one you're looking at, there is a 75% or higher non-reproducibility problem. These experiments they're doing now, the fundamental part of science is that science is the discovery or the study of truth, of nature, of reality, of the laws of nature. But these guys, they're not happy. They're transhumanists. They are scientists. They want to take humanity and nature and improve it. They literally call themselves as gods. Their opinion is that because the beginning of the universe was this Big Bang, out of nothingness came something, and it exploded, and we were formed, and the stars exploded, and we fortunately formed because stars exploded, etc., etc. This is the religion of science.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Okay, we do have to go to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
And our guest today is Clint Richardson, and we're talking about psychopaths. I had a program last week about psychopathy, and these medical people, Fauci, Gates, all of these people, fit right into that particular category.
And I saw a really scary video on this guy who... he was actually in charge at some university. He was studying the brain patterns of psychopaths in general. And so he had thousands and thousands of studies. And he actually took a scan of his own brain, and that got mixed in with all those. And he's looking at this at this picture, and it shows psychopathy. He did not know. He had no clue that he was a psychopath. No clue.
Oh, my gosh.
And then everything clicked, and he realized that, yes, and he was able to actually, you know, he basically described it as, it's almost like getting an education or having this set of rules that you don't believe in them, but you understand that if you don't follow them, then you're going to do psychopathic things. He was so shocked at his own brainwaves that he didn't know that he was a psychopath. And so you got to ask, do these people know? Can we even call them evil, or are they just completely detached from any sort of self-responsibility, self-governing? Because, you know, these people should not be left alone. I mean, they are the scariest people I've ever met, and they are a society. They call themselves the scientific community, and they believe that they are in charge and that the rest of us, you know, must bow to them. And they are the smart people, and of course, smart means to be put in pain and punished, right? They are the smart ones. They are just this God class, and they believe that it is their duty to alter reality, to alter nature, to completely destroy life as we know it, and to become gods of their own universe.
Oh,
that really is what the, I mean, that you look at these crazy guys like Kurzweil and all these futurists and transhumanisms, I tell you, all that synthetic biology and all that synthetic life thing that I was talking about, all these things that are in these studies, they're towards transhuman. They are literally, with all this public funding, they're doing all this extra research towards dual use, but in this case, the dual use is transhumanism, forwarding humanity. Evolving humanity. They use the term evolution. They want to evolve or unfold man and nature and improve it and make it essentially in their image. And that is why it's a religion. It's called scientism. It was warned about in the 1920s. There was a professor who warned that these so-called scientists are infiltrating every aspect of government and science and promoting all this stuff. Then you had Darwin, you had, you know, the all this stuff about evolution, you had all these things that were happening, and you have now this scientistic sort of lens that has taken and infiltrated the whole system.
Exactly. All righty, we are going to let's see, it's the top of the hour. We will be right back, so stay with us.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.